Chapter 4. 8:30 a.m. Second Opinion. Jester Stonewall is big. Really big. Standing 39 inches tall at the shoulders, he is a formidable, handsome, 2-year-old Harlequin Great Dane, lumbering into my examination room with a proportionally tall dad, who breathes rarefied air from the ceiling, and a Lilliputian mum who looks like she could easily saddle up and take Jester out on a hack. The three fuss before settling, Jester's mum making a show of the imposing ream of paperwork in her arms, out in the open like a tattoo meant for me to see. The ringed notepad comes next, a deliberate flip through several pages of handwritten notes hinting that there will be many questions. I'm expecting a handheld tape recorder to document our meeting, but Mrs. Stonewall goes old school, finding a pen and signalling she is ready to proceed by dropping her printed collection of articles, anecdotes, blogs and chatroom gossip on the bench beside her, savouring my surprise as it lands with a weighty and impressive thud. The leggy, black-and-white pony with the pointy ears has settled on the floor between us, forepaws neatly crossed, a preamble to a heavy sigh of indifference before laying an immense skull on his make-do digital pillow. I study my interrogators. I'm guessing that they are both in their late 50s, early 60s, successful baby boomers who have chosen a big dog to fill their empty nest. Mr. Stonewall squints behind lenses that could easily start a brush fire on a bright sunny day. Mrs. Stonewall does not wear glasses, but her widely spaced sheep-like eyes appear to scrutinize a point high above my forehead, making me wonder if I have something unpleasant stuck in my hair. Either she does not enjoy eye contact, or she prefers a sort of visual alignment that works best with her husband. Mrs. Stonewall begins to tell me all about Jester, and a story that centers on her veterinarian's belief that the dog has a congenital defect of the spine, whereas everything she has read on the internet points to a diagnosis of canine hip dysplasia. She makes little effort to hide her partiality, trusting that I will adjudicate, prove her right, fix the problem, and permanently vote her vet off the island of clinical acumen. Of course she doesn't say this exactly, but within minutes of meeting her I can tell she is compelled by something far greater than the piles of paper research at her side. Despite the critical tone of her words, I recognize...